Hi, it's Nicole Branda with Unlimited Life, and thank you so much for joining our show today. I'm so thrilled on the guest that we have today, and I know that we've been talking about him for the past few weeks, and he's been busy traveling, so I'm sure he hasn't heard all these extraordinary things we've been saying about him. But we have Nick Bear, who is the Soul Whisperer today, and I remember Michael last week when he was talking about feng shui, he was talking about how extraordinary and how magical and how special Nick is. And usually at this point, you always hear me read these bios of people and their history and where they're from and how they got to where they've gotten to. And I'm actually going to ask Nick a lot of that online because of who he is and how he got to where he is. I just think it's so interesting. I'd rather him share that from his heart. But one of the things I do want to share with you is what people say. For more than 25 years, Nick Bear has been helping people grow and change into who they really want to be. And he does that by resolving internal blocks to their inner wisdom. And his clients actually call the results extraordinary, magical, and even miraculous. And one of the things that's affected me the most is I had the opportunity to have some testimonials from people that have worked with him. And everybody tells me what an incredible life-changing experience this is. And even on his website, they say when most people complete their coaching with Nick, they regard it as the single most life-changing experience that they have ever known. There was one person that said that they received more value in one weekend with him than 10 years of therapy. And as you read on, people say he's a special gift, he's been anointed by God, that he is a joy of life, that he is the concepts of everything, that he's so fully expressed and is powerful. His work has given people the quality of life in which they will forever be grateful. So he has sent, you know, one person was saying they sent over 500 people to Nick because his results are consistent and they're deep and they're profound. And his insights into people and his seminar leading skills and his personal creativity help people accomplish their missions. So not just in personal life, he works with corporations, he works around the world. And I just think there are people on this planet that are touched. And Nick Bear is one of these people that we consider a gift and just simply touch. So we're thrilled to have him on the show today. And I'd love to welcome today's guest, Nick Bear, the Soul Whisperer. Nick, welcome to the show.
Wow. Hi, Nicole. I feel not only welcome but honored. Thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you. And any way that I can support anything that you're up to, I'm in. So I'm really happy to be here, and thank you for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. So what extraordinary testimonials. And truly, every person that I've talked to that has ever worked with you, they just ooze, they discuss, they go on and on about you, your work, how magnificent you are, you know, and you know, they're just so drawn. And it's almost as if you can just see in somebody's eyes that their life shifted, that there was like a slide that was somehow changed when they worked with you, and that they're leading the life that they're leading now because of you, because of your work, because of your insight. And last week we had Michael and Pamela on talking about feng shui and space, and they did this incredible job talking about all of that. And even more so, they talked about how extraordinary you were. And so I know our audience is just biting at the bit to talk to you. So what is a soul whisperer? How do you get to be a soul whisperer?
Well, you know, first of all, I met Pamela and Michael at CEO Space, and, you know, I had the privilege of chatting with both of them and Pamela a little bit more. And I love CEO Space, and I love the quality of people there, and I love the opportunity that I get to serve, and it's a wonderful place to do some networking. What is the Soul Whisperer? Wow. You know, after 30 years, you would think I knew the answer to that. Nicole, I think it might be safe to say that I have been given a gift, and I happen to be able to do a couple different things for people in some of the areas that you mentioned. So, you know, when somebody does have some blocks, whether it be personally or professionally or in relationship, I have practiced for a really long time and a couple of different ways of reading and following and running and shifting energy, and we can talk, you know, as in-depth about these things as you want. And we've not talked before the show, but one of the things that would really help me because I can talk for a really long time about a whole bunch of topics, and I have been doing this for, you know, more than 30 years now. I really want to talk about things that are important to people, and if people, if there's a way that they want to write or call or address some questions, especially if we can get kind of a flavor of what those, you know, two or three or four or five along the way questions that they might have, that'll help me more specifically address kind of where they're coming from, which is sort of what the Soul Whisper really likes to do, is, you know, address, you know, people where they're at, meet them where they're at, and look at where they're coming from to be presenting with the kinds of issues and the kinds of dilemmas. And there's a pretty comprehensive approach that I have, and we can talk again as much about that as you want to, too. But, you know, it's personal problems, it's relationships issues, it's balancing masculine feminine energy, it's personal growth and spiritual development. It's how do I have acceptance? It's how do I build my self-esteem? Somewhere along the line, people want to give back. And so we look at, you know, how to do that in a comprehensive manner for them, that really where they feel like they get to contribute the kinds of things that they want to, and make those offerings. And then there's a whole... Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. I mean, no, that's wonderful. And I mean, my gosh, that's amazing. So I guess I will start, because I know, you know, the audience, and certainly not every person, and I would love to know every person, you know, that calls into this show. But I know when I was reading the testimonial, the thing that caught me, there are so many things that caught me, but one was that somebody had said that in two sessions with you, they felt like they had 10 years of therapy. And that they were able to accomplish that much. And what the listeners don't know on this show is so often when I bring guests on and they're people that I know that work and they're the best in the field, in the top in their field, and somebody will come on the radio show quite often and I will talk of their background and I will talk of their history, and then you'll hear me say somewhere on the show, I would love to work with you, I'd love to experience this, we will bring you back on. But I've had the personal experience of working with you, and in my time with you, my life was transformed. So I know what you're capable of. But when somebody says something like that, that they've done two sessions with you, so when people come to you and they have blocks in relationships or finance, let's start with something that's universal. How do somebody first find you, and then how do you work with somebody, and then how do you do that? How can you remove a relationship block or something holding back somebody from love or the relationship or their dreams or their finances, or if they're in a corporation, from going through the roof financially in their business and becoming a success?
I'm laughing because I think that was seven questions. Let me see if I can answer what I think you're asking, and I'll start off a little bit more briefly this time. And I'll elaborate where you wish. But, you know, Nicole, people do present with some of the common things, and then there's some not common things that they present with. And really, some of the things that are going on with people are really just manifestations of unconscious patterns. And so if you're able to identify what some of those patterns are, you don't have to work on the external circumstances, and you don't have to work on managing the issue. And, you know, I think that a lot of people in our society and in our culture spend a lot of time trying to, you know, improve their life or fix their life or address their life by working on the external circumstances. But I believe that your life is a reflection of what's inside. And so the outside mirrors what's inside. And if we can find and address and release those unconscious patterns, the issues go away and you don't have to manage the things on the outside. So that's the short answer. And if that's the kind of thing you're looking for, terrific. And I can go wherever you'd like from here.
Absolutely. So what's the difference between working with an individual then or a corporation? Because I know you do both. And that's such a huge, vast range of somebody coming in wanting personal assistance and breaking through an area, an arena of their life, or a corporation or a CEO coming to you saying, okay, so we're stagnant and the business is stuck, or we're having these repeated problems, and how do we get past that?
Well, the truth of the matter is I haven't done any larger groups or corporations in several years now, not by any reason other than, I believe in goals and I believe in intentions and I believe in the law of attraction and manifestation, but somehow with this particular project and process that I do, I've never set a goal, and I just try to say yes as much as I can to what comes in front of me. So mostly in the last decade, it's been individuals and couples that have come to me. So when I did do groups and businesses and organizations, it was really interesting, and I found an interesting phenomena. And I don't have lots and lots of data, but here's kind of what I've noticed is that there was a whole issue of responsibility in corporations missing. And what I mean by that is that I always wanted the decision maker, I always wanted the CEO, I always wanted the head and the top management involved in the process, because I believe that everything trickles from the top down. And so just like in your life is a reflection of what's inside you, your company or your organization's a reflection of what's inside you. And so I found it a lot easier to get the job done if we could have everybody involved in it. And I found sometimes that some of the top people didn't want to be vulnerable, didn't want to be part of it, didn't want to expose themselves, didn't want to participate. And that's why I said, sometimes there might be a level of responsibility missing. But when I could get everybody in there and participate in that kind of a way, we got pretty good results. And so, the process is pretty much the same. We're looking for what are the internal blocks, what are the unconscious patterns, and what needs to be resolved. And so that's how I would work with organizations and or families and or individuals.
That's great. That's so amazing. And what a gift to be able to shift and see things. And then when people come to you, do you do single sessions with them, or do you work with them, as a coach or a consultant, helping them make shifts and changes in each and every area of their life? Or how does that work?
Well, one could say that if you're open and flowing and fluid, there's workability and, there aren't any issues. The issues come from closures that people have. And so when people come, they basically come for a reason. They have something going on. They have some dilemma in their personal life, and they have some dilemma in, that needs to be addressed. And so they present that. And basically, I have a three-step process that has been kind of refined now over 30 years, and it's gotten a bunch simpler. But basically, the first step is, okay, you're presenting with your relationship dilemma or your personal growth dilemma or whatever it is. The first step is, what the heck is really going on? What are some of the patterns inside that are reflecting this? And so the first step is kind of an inventory, what's going on. The second step is, okay, what needs to be addressed here to fix this? And the third step is whatever the healing is. So I custom design, that particular healing to address whatever it is that we find in the first two steps. So that's basically how I'm working now.
I absolutely love this. And then do you have different, you were saying that you use different types of energy. So do you use...
Oh. Yes. Here's what I have found is that the three or four biggest healing energies happen to be love energy is a big one, but a lot of times human beings have a little bit of difficulty following that. Another is sexual energy, and professionally I do not, work with that. And the third one is emotional energy, and that is the one, Nicole, that I work with. Every time there is, and any of those energies can be, can be used. Also, truth energy is pretty powerful too, but not quite, in my experience, as powerful as the other three. And so, in working with those, if those are the ones that will move. Any of them will work fine. Emotional energy, although it's uncomfortable sometimes and a little bit of vulnerability for people they have to walk into or face. it seems to be the one that's the most comfortable for the majority of people, particularly if I don't know them or publicly. That's the one that I work with.
And what is truth energy?
Well, you know, every time that there's an issue, there's a closure. And so there's an unspoken truth. There's something that's true that's not available or acknowledged. There's a suppressed feeling or emotion, which is where I work. And there's places where love is withheld or closed. So, you know, there's a number of factors that make up the closure. And all you're looking for, or all I'm looking for, is what's the easiest way in. And there's always actually a collage of suppressed feelings. And so here's another way I would say that. And I'll be glad to elaborate on this if you want. But why does a good feeling go away and a bad feeling stay around? The short answer, or not quite so short, is,
you know, go ahead and elaborate, because I'm curious. Well, I mean, that's a great question. Let's ask the question again. That's a fabulous question.
Okay, good. So a good feeling goes away because you experience the experience of the experience. That is to say, let's say that you get a new car. It's a new car for about a week because you experience your new car-ness. That is to say, you're breathing during the time period, which we'll talk about in a second, because when there's issues and baggage and dilemmas, you actually hold your breath. It supports the closure, so it stops the flow. That's why breathing is so important, and all the breath work that's been out there for decades can be really powerful, because there's always suppressed breath in there also. But the new car experience lasts for about a week because you're breathing. You're talking about it, you're playing with the dials, you're taking your friends for a ride in it, and you're doing everything that there is to do in this new car until you're done doing new car. And then after about a week or so, the experienced new car completes itself and goes away, and now it's your car. But let's say, for example, you're driving down the freeway late at night and you have an accident, and the result of that is you're afraid or closed or holding back driving on the freeway late at night because you're afraid. And the difference is that in this particular example, you have an unexperienced experience of the accident. That is to say that you hold your breath during it. You probably don't take your friends to the crash site and measure the blood stain like you did the volume on the new stereo. And when your friends ask you how you're doing in the hospital, you might say fine and tend to not elaborate very much. When your friend says, how's your new car? You say, let me tell you about the heated seats and the buckets and the leather and the sound and the, you know, all the, you've got a lot to say about it. And so the major difference is that in the feeling that goes away, the good feeling, is because you experience the experience of that feeling. The bad feeling, you have an unexperienced experience of that incident or situation. And so you can sit there and take driving classes, and you can sit there and read about, you know, nighttime accidents, and you can gather a lot of information, and you can manage this event with external circumstances. But at the end of the day, most of the time, it's going to be really hard for those people to drive late at night on the freeway again until they complete the experience of the unexperienced experience. And once they do that, there is a lie in there, there is a suppressed feeling in there, there is withheld love in there someplace, and there's a collage of different things that, once released and begins to move in its natural intended direction that it wanted to go in the first place, which is one of the reasons I have issues with facilitators, because they tend to want to move energy in the direction they think it should go based on their history and their values rather than on where the energy naturally wants to go. But in any event, once you complete the experience and experience the experience of the unexperienced experience, then you can then automatically find yourself driving late at night on the freeway again. And, oh, by the way, there was a lesson. One could say that theory is that life has a variety of lessons to it, and that when you learn that lesson, you actually become a better driver, but you don't get what the benefit of the lesson is until you experience the experience of the unexperienced experience, so that you actually have a higher quality and ability to drive the car once that occurs. I know I covered a lot, and it was a big mouthful. Is it mostly clear?
No, I love the experience. Sounds like it's a country song. I love it. Experience. I mean, this is such good information, and it just rings so true. I mean, it's so valid, and what an epiphany.
Yeah. And, you know, that's basically when we get into relationships, there's some other dilemmas that need to be addressed to have, you know, workability in the coupleship and the we-ness of it. But for personal issues, really, Nicole, this is it's really this simple. Always. It's never, you know, sometimes the manifestations in life are really significant for people, but clinically it's really simple to treat, because we're looking at what is the thing the person doesn't like or has an issue with or what they want to change or get rid of, and there's always an unconscious pattern causing it, and that unconscious pattern has an unexperienced experience in it, and the access into that is the suppressed feelings, and once you identify, isolate, and release those feelings, the experience automatically gets experienced because it wants to, it was intended to, its inherent intention was to move through the body, not get trapped in it, and then you get the benefit of the lesson.
That's just brilliant. I mean, that's really brilliant. I love that this is your gift and talent. And so how did you start? Did you know that you were touched and you had this extraordinary gift? I mean, the testimonials, and I know personally, every person that I've ever talked to that knows you, that has met you, that has worked with you, they just gush. There is just such a joy and such a love and such... such adoration and for you and for your work. And, you know, it's beyond the respect. It's a knowingness. And so were you small? Did you have magical gifts when you were small? Could you see? Did you know? Did you know how to help people as a kid? Or do you learn tools and techniques through the years of how to help people?
It's not that interesting of a story, but, you know, from roughly, I finally figured out decades later, around age 4, I was looking at how do I be happier? And that was my quest, and I didn't really understand that was my quest. This is just looking back and, you know, doing lots of inner child work and, you know, family of origin work and lots and lots and lots of personal growth and processing and emotional release work, et cetera, et cetera. It became clear to me that I was always looking for happiness. And what happened is the older I got, the more unhappy I became. And in fact, as a teenager, I became what probably would be called depressed. And I was closing, and I was shut down, and I was numb, and, you know, not much would impact me because I was just, you know, slowly closing up over time. And, you know, I read books, and I listened to tapes, and I went to therapy. And at the end of the day, Nicole, I got to tell you that in a way it sort of made it worse, because I had now read what I thought were the best books at the time. I had been to multiple therapists with great reputation, and I had listened to some of the best tapes that were out there, and nothing made any difference. So I kind of walked away with, man, I must be really somehow fundamentally flawed because nothing can fix me. And then I got lucky and I became exposed to transformational work, and, you know, in my early 20s, for the first time in my life, I actually felt happy. And what, you know, I immersed myself in every kind of seminar that I could find, and some of the better transformational ones had this common theme, which is also what I find too, is that, you know, people want to serve or give back, or they have an offering or a gift. It wasn't presented to me that way. It was presented to me that I should serve, or if I wanted to grow faster, serve people. Well, at that time in my life, I didn't know what serve people meant, and all I knew is I really didn't like people. For the most part, they were just an annoyance and in my way. But, you know, I got so much value out of these seminars that, you know, I was doing everything they said, and everything they said worked so well. So back in 1982, I found myself sitting down with what turned out to be around 100 people that year, and they were people that were in these seminars that weren't quite getting it. And so I just sat with them and discovered this talent that I had about, you know, what was underneath their dilemma, what was holding it together. And I just went in with it, you know, like an explorer. I didn't have any knowledge. I mean, I had some of the ideas of the seminar, and, you know, I would use whatever the common ideas of any seminar. So that's why I say it doesn't matter what energy you follow. It doesn't matter your starting point. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't even matter your perspective on it, because it's all going to lead you to the block. And so I just sat there with people not knowing anything, just kind of discovering with them, well, you know, what's there? What's underneath that? What's going on about that? How does that make you feel? What's alive in you? What's underneath that? Where did that come from? And so that started me out. And after about a year of working with what turned out to be 100 people, around 100, you know, I found out that I was producing, you know, the same or better results that these three-month seminars that we were in. And I'm like, you know, I always wanted to have some kind of product or service that served people, that you didn't have to talk them into, like some of the other things I was exposed to. And so I just started doing basement seminars late at night for $50 a person, and that's how I got my start.
That's what a wonderful story, and I love that, because there's such an innocence in it. And from that innocence and from that curiosity emerged this great gift and this great power. And just in the way that you tell this story, you can, you know, hear what an observer you are and what a great listener you are, and how much you absorb and take in, and then how much you desire to help people. And so that's just, I mean,
you know, all that's true, and you're saying a lot of nice things, and I do have gifts, and I am able to produce some, you know, pretty good results. But it's really interesting to sit in my chair, because in my chair, the world isn't exactly that way for me. For sure I get great results, and I feel very blessed and fortunate to have this gift. But, you know, in the other areas of my life, I feel sometimes almost like all the things that I know are in this field and are in helping people. Because if you ask me directions, or if you ask me to fix something, or if you ask me about a computer, or if you ask, I mean, I'm pretty much not too bright in too many other areas. But I will tell you, I do seem to be gifted here, and on a pretty consistent basis, we do get pretty good results.
It just makes me laugh. It's because I am completely what one would call a computer geek.
Yeah.
And I took, honestly, I handwrite everything. I have somebody type it in for me. I cross the veils between the worlds. I am the bridge between the physical and the spiritual world. But it's, you know, like you're saying, certainly there are things in your life, and there are things, of course, for me that, you know, are frustrating dealing with. We talked about it the last show, Time Warner or Verizon or technical things or whatever it is. And I was so frustrated, and I had somebody, a dear friend, who is actually also a CEO of Space Number, and he said the other day in my frustration, he said, "Nicole, look at me." He said, "Other than computers and PowerPoint," he said, "and, you know, spreadsheets, what don't you do?" You know, he's like, it's okay that you don't do this. It's okay. But sometimes it's hard when we look at our lives, because we, you know, we do live in these gifts and talents and places, and then we'll look at a place that we don't live and say, gosh, how come I don't live there? How come, you know, I'm not in that space right now? And it's actually funny. It's humorous, because I look at what you do, and it's so widespread, and it's so vast, and it touches the lives of so many people. And it's, you know, it's a gift, like the real gift. I mean, there are all sorts of little gifts in the world, and, you know, there's the laughter of children, which is amazing. And, you know, somebody bakes a beautiful cake and something smells lovely and, you know, a nice moment in time and all these and millions, billions of little things. And then there are the really grand gifts. And you're one of the really grand gifts, Nick. You have this incredible skill and talent to be able to see and help people and open doors and take people to other levels of happiness. And that's such a grand gift.
And I feel so yeah, it's definitely a gift, and I feel so blessed. And, you know, I love to give wherever I can, and when I get, you know, some work professionally, I love that too. But I love doing this. It's my favorite all-time thing in the world.
That's great. Now, do you have, like, a favorite person, without saying their name, or somebody that has come to you with a situation that you were able to transform that you just said, gosh, that was extraordinary. I'm really proud of that, or that really changed somebody's lives in this way that you would like to share?
You know, here's what's most real for me about that is that nothing like that comes to my mind. I'll share with you a frustration that I have is that you know, pretty quickly we get some pretty good results. So a lot of times whatever the person's presenting symptom with, a symptom, you know, kind of clears up pretty quickly, and sometimes there's a hesitancy after they get through some of the mediocrity in their life and they get a little bit of success in the relationship or a little bit of success in their bank account, you know, they want to quit and you know, I know that there's more to go. So I've been kind of shifted things around where, you know, I set up a comprehensive program and you know, there's a package and a process that we do, and there's a start and there's an end. And now that I've been doing that over the last decade, I get such better, deeper results. That's why I guess that no one person comes to my mind. There are a few stories of people that, you know, had some relationships that were, pretty, I guess by most of our standards, unworkable, and pretty a lot of suffering in those, in there. And I can tell one of the stories if you'd like to hear.
Sure.
Well, you know, this guy, and he's one of the testimonials that I, you know, offer to people when they want to. I mean, it's a little bit longer and it's kind of a comprehensive perspective. But he was literally flying across the country, sleeping on the lawn of his girlfriend, who told him not to come so that she would talk to him in the morning. And, you know, that was just the straw that kind of broke the camel's back. That's what made him come to me. And he, too, by the way, had, you know, several years, more than a decade, and, you know, several thousand dollars. He revealed a number to me at one point. It was over $100,000 that he had invested in his own personal growth and, you know, trying to resolve this. And this is, you know, that's usually the people that come to me. They've tried a bunch of other stuff and, you know, nothing else has worked, and they've taken a few layers off of it and haven't got, you know, the completion that they're looking for. But in any event, you know, once she wouldn't let him in the house and he spent the night on the lawn, that's what made him come to me. And it didn't take too long to get that relationship cleared up. And, you know, then after we got that cleared up, we had to get cleared up what predisposed him to that. And, you know, so that took a couple long weekends to do. But, you know, those are the kinds of results that I like. Because this is now, I mean, I'm going to guess 5 years, 10 years later, and he's now engaged to be married. And, you know, I happen to know him, and I happen to stay somewhat in contact with him, so I kind of know what's occurring. And, you know, the level of acceptance and the level of maturity, and it's just so much better and bigger. You know, before there was not acceptance, and before, you know, if codependency had a definition of you know, how much suffering you had in the relationship, it was pretty high up there. I mean, that man was troubled. That man was not accepting. That man had some perspectives that might not have been congruent with what was true and what was going on, and, you know, wanted love really badly, obviously in pain, wanted love so bad. And, you know, once some of those predispositions healed and disappeared, the level of maturity and love and acceptance. And really, I've witnessed him with somebody other than his fiance, you know, just unconditionally love. And, you know, we throw that word around a lot. I hear the word, but I don't witness it experientially very often. And I witness him doing unconditional love. I witness him being transparent and authentic. I witness him, you know, giving and receiving high volumes of love. And, you know, those are always really satisfying. And so that's why I kind of changed my approach a decade ago into doing comprehensive work with people so that we got not just the issue resolved, but really made the kind of contribution that I feel good about giving. That was another mouthful.
But how much information? I think that's just wonderful. It's when you talk about somebody spending $100,000 on their transformation, and I know there are people that spend even so much more than that. And then you look at the testimonials that you have, somebody saying, well, in two sessions, I had, you know, as much as 10 years of therapy or whatever working with Nick. And I know that for myself, when I stand on a stage, I don't want to see people again. Like, I definitely want to see them. I want them to hug me in Bed Bath & Beyond and tell me that I hugged their life or run into me or, you know, at the airport and cheer and jump up and down and circle with me or whatever. But I don't want to see them still lost. You know, if somebody's in my audience, I always say to them, you know, whatever it is that you came to get, ask it today. So whatever that thing is for the past 14 or 20 years, that today it goes click. And that you finally get it, and I give you the key, and whatever that is, it to get you to that next stage, to that next doorway, to that next window, for the next place in your life, that I want you to get it today. And I don't want to give you an exercise that 3 months from now you're doing that's going to – I want today to be the day that changes your life, you know.
Right.
So I – and so I know for me that's what I strive for when I'm working with someone, is for every time they are in front of me, that when they leave me, their life has been changed forever. It's better forever. It's different somehow forever. And so you're doing that too. You know, you have that same draw in you that when you work with people in that moment, on that day, if you want them to make that shift and to make that change. And then, you know, somebody wrote you a testimony. Can't talk to me. It's the first day with my new tongue, but they said they sent you a testimonial saying they sent you like 500 people or like everybody they know. And so, I mean, that's so exciting. That's what it's all about, is that when somebody leaves you, they say, oh my gosh, that was a miracle, or that was amazing, or that, and then they go tell people that they know, you have to go see this person because this person changed my life. This technique, this tool, this key was the key that I have been looking for to open these doorways. And so when you're working with someone, do those keys lie directly within them? And you're just able to see it or help them find their own keys, or are you giving them new keys that they haven't found yet?
Yeah, there's so much here. Let's see if I can do this all, because it's also an interesting about the person that sent the 500 people, because that was actually the therapist that I went to after I had worked with the 80 people for free for a year, because I was doing serving people. And I really did. I learned so much that year. And, you know, once I found that I was able to do this consistently, regularly, and that nobody else was doing this, I went down to this therapist's office who had a really good reputation in this personal growth community that I was involved in at the time. And, you know, he ended up, I said, you know, listen, is this even psychologically sound? Because I think I'm going to start charging money for it. And he ended up putting his whole staff through the program. At that point, it was one day, and he had like 15 different therapists, and they all had different modalities that they were working from. And they all got so much personal value out of it that they asked me to work out of their clinic and train them how to do what I, you know, how to see clients and produce these kinds of results. And so that's really how I got this big, you know, thrust in the beginning. And then the second thing, which will start to answer the question, you know, how am I doing this, and do these people have what's happening is, Nicole, sometimes it's pretty easy to, you know, and you've said this a couple of times, and I appreciate all the wonderful, kind things that you said about me, but sometimes it's pretty easy to quickly get some of these bigger results, because a lot of these people, like in this case, have been to therapy for a long time, or a lot of people have done a bunch of workshops, or a lot of people understand personal growth principles a lot and have tried to apply them to their life. But what I'm finding is nobody's really kind of finishing the job. Nobody's really following it deeper. You know, these seminars or these books or these, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways that people seek growth. But what I have found, and I've been fortunate enough to be a participant in a lot of these, is that most people are presenting whatever they're presenting, and it contributes at some level with people, but they don't know how to finish what's underneath that. They don't know how to take it deeper. They don't know how to read what else is occurring in the person and what's the next step to finish up. So, you know, sometimes it's pretty simple to get, you know, a couple pops to go and produce really big results, so people will say, well, in one weekend I got more, you know, because we're hitting now, we're going underneath where this, you know, where the therapy for a year or the personal growth for a decade left off. And so all these closures, and there's this big collage right there just ready to go, and it doesn't take a lot of work, and it just releases a whole bunch of unexperienced experiences. It releases a whole bunch of suppressed feelings. It releases a whole bunch of unspoken truths. It releases a whole bunch of love, and all of a sudden the person is totally different, and they think it was something great that I did, when really it was just, you know, what didn't get finished up from all the work that they said, you know, that they had done up to now. So now, to try to answer your question, you know, it's not that I'm giving anybody tools. It's not that I'm necessarily have some kind of knowledge about life, because really it's what's inside the person and their truth. And that's what I'm really going for. What is the truth?
That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. But that was, yes, that was my question.
I'm trying to hold it. It's not that I have an opinion or I have a value system or I have a strategy or I know something about relationships or I know something about something, because I don't bring anything that I know. In fact, all these things that we're talking about today could be called personal growth principles or personal growth abstractions. For the most part, I don't have any of these conversations with people, because that just happens to be some of the universe. And there's all kinds of books and tapes and things with stuff like this in it. But what I'm really looking for is about your finances, about your money, about your heart, about your relationship, about your job, about your personal growth, about your fear, about your self-esteem, about your dilemma, about your closure. What is your truth, and how do we remove the barriers for you being congruent with your truth? And that's one of the reasons I get the kinds of results that I do, is because there's an inherent intention, there's an inherent flow, there's a movement already going in a direction that it wants to go, and all I'm doing is finding what that is and removing or letting or facilitating navigating the person through, you know, the murky water, so that they can just move in the direction that they want to go.
That's a great answer, and that's, you know, so many people are comfortable where they are,
yeah,
even though they don't want to be where they're. It's interesting. I'm at a friend's house, and they have a guest in from out of town, and they have a massage table set up. I happened to look at the massage table, and they had the little eye mask, like the sleeping eye mask, but the eye mask that's on the massage table is made out of lamb's wool. It just looks so cushy, this eye mask. It's okay. Lamb's wool and velvet. So you would think when you put it over your eyes, it would be the most comfortable thing in the world not to see.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was so interesting, because when we make it comfortable to not see, when we make it comfortable to be complacent and where we are, and then moving from that is such an interesting process. Even though people might have these hopes and wishes and wants and desires, somehow they're comfortable hanging. And so when you have somebody that you see, they're just sort of comfortable, sort of like somebody sitting in front of a television after Thanksgiving meal.
Right.
Well, you know, how do you, one, say don't indulge so you don't get to that state, or how do you say, okay, you know, I know it feels great to sit there, but that's probably not the thing you want to be doing right now.
You know, Nicole, what I notice is that there are a whole, you know, personal growth is for sure not for everybody. And I'm not exposed to the general population so much anymore these days, but I think the majority of people are like what you say. You know, the people that I'm around and the people that I'm exposed to and my friends and in the circles I hang out in, you know, basically the common thread is that there's this little gnawing thing inside that says, I know my life can be better. I know I haven't tapped my potential. I know there's something richer out there, and I'm going to actively seek how to, you know, how to get that. And, you know, that's sort of like the pretty much the only prerequisite it takes to, you know, do personal growth or work with me or whatever it is. You know, there's a whole bunch of, you know, people, I wanted to do a TV show one time, and, you know, what I was told is that, you know, it's not you know, most people are not in the place where they're seeking this kind of thing. Most people are sort of like what you said, happy with their life, they say, but not really, and yet they don't want to take any action, and there's, you know, they're on the couch, and, you know, they say they want something better, but, you know, aren't necessarily willing to face whatever they... So what I find is that if the person has that gnaw, has that voice, has that desire, you know, I mean, I started that at age 5, you know, or 4, and, you know, actively started formally seeking personal growth in my early 20s and have been on this quest since. And if you're on that quest and if you're on that journey, I think that there's a whole bunch of things and people and ways that can be supportive. When you have that person who's on the couch who says, well, you know, it's sort of okay, I'm not so sure, you know, I'm not so sure that that person would be somebody that would be a candidate for this kind of work.
Right. And we have a call coming in. So hang on a second. I've got, this is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for calling in. So we're talking to Nick, the Soul Whisperer, and I'd even love your thoughts on us. We're talking about complacency, but do you have a question for Nick?
Oh, man, like my, it's like there's so many different areas I could go into here. You know, it's a struggle for me because for the most part, I believe that I know where all of my problems come from. So I could start there. You know what I mean? I kind of know why. A lot of times people aren't aware, why do I do this? You know what I mean? Like, why do I keep, you know, doing this pattern, or why am I like that? And I think I have a fairly good handle on that. But my first question to Nick is, you know, you talk about, you know, living your truth, you know what I mean? And so the thing that pops into my mind is that living my truth has been my worst enemy. You know, I'm my worst enemy because I've been very principled. And just as an example, you know, I walked away from a $100,000 a year job 12 or 13 years ago on principle because, you know, because of corruption in the organization. And a lot of people that I worked with, they were sort of like, and no insult or offense to anybody by saying this term, but like sort of government workers. In other words, they just, you know what, they get into it. And again, this touches on that comfort level thing, which is like they get into a job and then they become robotic. They become comfortable and secure in knowing that their paycheck is coming, their benefits are there, and they become a robot and they just do, you know, whatever it is that they're told to do. And me, if there's, you know, something incongruent with In my example, I was a union representative, a union negotiator, and I found myself more and more having to represent the workers against their own union because the union was, you know, playing dirty and corrupt. And so then that puts me into a, you know, because you have this situation with an employer where you have to be loyal. The whole fiduciary duty kind of thing and everything like that. So in terms of the pressure there, it puts a target on you because, you know, you're kind of telling the people that you're supposed to be representing, you know, how they can protect themselves against their own union and your employer. And so my point is that I left there then, and I went on to a different occupation. Still, I was sort of advocating for people, however, and then I came up against the same problem. And I'm a fierce advocate when I'm advocating for other people, not so good advocating for myself. But once again, this whole principle thing came up, and I've looked at other people and said, like, if I'd have stayed there, I'd have been like $1.2 million richer now, this many years later. And a lot of people that I used to work with are still there, still doing the dirty deeds that they're being told to do, and they're uncomfortably comfortable, if you know what I mean by that.
Absolutely, and it's a crazy concept when you think about truth as an enemy, you know, when you say, well, the truth has been,
right.
You know. And so, Nick, what do you think about that?
There's two things I think about that. One is I think that there's two places that I would start to explore is that this is now the second place where principles were a guiding factor in your life and what was in that you had to remove yourself from a situation because there were some significant incongruencies occurring in those groups. Did I get that right?
Right. I mean, you know, the work itself was awesome, and I was very passionate about it in both cases, but the dirty management became my problem.
Here's where I would explore, and, you know, if another time you want to talk and kind of get to this a little bit deeper, but since this has been in your life twice now, I would call it a pattern, and I'd want to know what is it that's inside me that's having this gravitate to me. You know, and one of the things we didn't talk about earlier was that I believe that the universe wants completion. So in all this chaos that's out there and all this stuff that's occurring, there's actually a movement toward completion. And there's something, Chris, that's undone or incomplete that's drawing this to you. So that's where I would explore, and that's where there's an unspoken truth, and that's where there's some suppressed feelings. And then the other thing that I would bet you a dime to a dollar that's connected in some way is what is it that has me be an advocate for other people but not for myself? So there's a stand missing, there's a truth missing, there's a congruency missing. And again, these are symptoms of unconscious patterns. So what I would do instead, and this is a now practical application to one of the first things that we talked about, is you can spend all the time in the world managing the external events by getting a new job and reading books and how to get, you know, and all of that. But at the end of the day, there's something, in my opinion, that has this being drawn to you. So what is the unconscious pattern causing it, and how does it relate to I can advocate for other people but not for myself? Does that make any sense at all?
And I believe I know the answers to both of those questions. Doesn't mean that I'm any better equipped to, you know what I mean, to... because, you know, shutting up and just doing, you know, letting people get, if I were on my own show, I would use different verbiage here, but letting other people get ill-treated, let's say, and allowing hypocrisy to occur. You know, I know why I can't, you know, like that's not acceptable to me. Some people can do that for the sake of the paycheck, and I can't. And I don't, I know I have issues around, I don't appreciate hypocrisy. I know that a lot of this relates to my childhood and similarly with my, I don't have a problem following a good leader. at all. I don't have a problem following direction or, you know, that kind of a thing when I have faith in the motives and how things are happening. I resist, I'm one of these people that resists, I'm not coming up with the word, but authority. When that authority is being abused. And I know that relates to my childhood, you know? I know that.
But even what you're saying, Chris, is, I mean, it's not, certainly not wrong to stand up for what you believe in. It's certainly not right and wrong to protect other people and to be awake enough and aware of enough to see injustice is a gift. And I think what Nick's asking is that it's just that why you've put yourself in opportunities where and places where it exists. Why has it been in places where that ends? So it's not right.
I wouldn't necessarily ask that. And I want to back up too for a second and say I want to just applaud that you can remove
who
yourself.
Who you are,
and,
yes.
So, I mean, you know, like you say, most people will just sell themselves out for the paycheck, and I see that you're a little more deeply connected to yourself, and integrity and congruency matters to you, and so I for sure applaud that. You know, but at the end of the day, we could talk about the ramifications of this for a while, but at the end of the day, Chris, what are those unconscious patterns, and if they come from your childhood, you know, who do you know is competent to unravel that, because those are the patterns that need to be healed.
Well, and even if, you know, because I believe, you know, like I'm not a victim to my childhood. I'm totally squaring my head around it. I've released the anger. I've provided the forgiveness and all of this kind of stuff. I call it what it is. It is what it is. And inherently, like I was drawn to positions in both cases where I was advocating for others, being in service. And trying to help the little guy, you know what I mean? And it's just that it would be the least likely, it was not anticipated by me on the surface that the enemy would be within. And you know, you might twist that and say, well, the enemy's within yourself. But I mean, you know, like that, the employer in this case, like a trade union, for example, on the face of it is an organization that fights for workers' rights. And so to the extent that we do that, I'm fully on board, you know?
The thing is, you have particular sides to your story, and they're valid and they're real, but at the end of the day, it's for me, it's a three-step process. You know, what is making up these issues? Step two, what are the unconscious patterns? And step three is, how do you heal them? You know, you have some understandings of some things that may or may not be part of this, and some things, you know, with your childhood that may or may not be part of it, and whatever angers and forgivenesses, whatever angers you've released and forgivenesses that have occurred are not part of this pattern. So there's something in there, and the first step is, what the heck is going on? And, you know, that's where I would start.
Yeah. I mean, the heck that's going on could very well be, like, that was the role that I chose for myself, and so live with it. You know what I mean? It's just that it starts
you didn't choose it. It chose you, because there's something undone that's drawing this into your life.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean by that, Nicole, right? Like, on a spiritual level.
Absolutely.
You know, like, we don't always pick, you know, if you believe in, you know, because I kind of come from a school of thought that I had a little bit of a hand in what my life mission was going to be when I came here. And, you know, I don't that mean for that to sound like I came from Mars on a mission, you know, but, you know,
I did.
And so in some ways, you know, there's people who, there are people who, you know, who aren't here to have the easiest cakewalk, you know, and nobody really does. But, and I do understand what you're saying, Nick,
absolutely.
You know,
and
I can have another look at that, but.
Absolutely, and I think often we magnetize things to us, you know, that we can heal, and we magnetize things to us that need to have light around them. You know, exactly like the injustices in these companies, and even just the fact that you took a stand, even just the fact that you left shifted the energy, because you're leaving shifted energy, and whether it will never be the same there. It might still be existing there, but it is now at a different level than it was before. And so you've already made a difference just by saying what it is, just by shedding light on it, just by wanting by your love and your heart and your compassion to change that. And just by giving it that energy is already. And so, you know, it's like, you know, you put something frozen in the microwave and it might not be in the first 4 seconds that it's defrosted, but you leave it in there, it's going to defrost on its own, you know, or you can charge it and all of a sudden it will defrost quicker. And so just the fact that you gave it heat, that you gave it light, that you gave it love is starting to change it. It's starting to defrost it. It's starting to melt it. And it's great that you recognize these things in yourself as great truths. And I'm a member of the Transformational Leadership Council. And one of the wonderful statements that we say in the Transformational Leadership Council is thank you for noticing. It's a great thing to learn, because people used to say to me, you're too sensitive. And I'd say, no, I'm not. You know, and I'd be all defensive that I wasn't sensitive as I'm like crying and people have hurt my feelings. And now someone says, you're too sensitive. Like, I can't joke with you. You're too sensitive. And I say, thank you for noticing. Yes, I truly am. It is one of my greatest gifts. And if it wasn't for this kind of sensitivity, I couldn't do what I do and give what I give. So thank you for noticing. You know, I no longer take it on as a, and so you have a great stand for truth. You have a great deal of integrity. You have a great deal, you know, of all of these wonderful things. And so that's fabulous. And like Nick is saying, it's nobody is taking away that it's not fabulous. It's looking at, okay, so how did you create it? It's like you watch someone who's a great tennis player. How did they get to be great? You know, and there's a wonderful, wonderful exercise that it's called the FLOT process, in which you write down 3 things you are amazing at. So you could be amazing at baking cakes. You could be amazing at having love, making love. You could be amazing at parenting, whatever that is, knitting, it doesn't matter. But 3 things you consider yourself an expert in, and you write down from the time you knew nothing about that thing, knitting, to the time that all of a sudden you're making sweaters for your, you know, your friends, whatever that is, and you say how you got there. Did you watch someone? Did you read a manual? How did you get from not knowing, like for me, you know, to do the gymnastics and the trapeze, from like not knowing anything to how did I, you know, get to the point that I'm at? And what you'll find is if you write down 3 things that you're amazing at, 3 things you really, whether that's be integrity and truth or whatever that is, and how did you get to that point in your life, and you look at those other 3 things, you'll realize the way you got to those 3 things you're great at are the very same way, and you could apply those. And so that's what Nick's saying is, it's not, we're honoring that that's who you are, but how did you get to that person of truth? What is the underlying charge of that? And then how can you use that to accelerate other things in your life, and how can you avoid having that slam dunk you and just whack you in the face.
Right, and you know, and as I get older, I look like, I look at it and I go like, the sellout way would be find a way to cope with the BS that goes on and put your head down and do your job, you know what I mean? And stop being a hero, I guess, you know what I mean? But that, you know, I just like cannot sit here and conceive of myself being able to do that, you know? And but that, like, that seems to be the easiest solution, you know. In both of those cases, I left great careers that you know, where I was making a meaningful difference for people, but it had to be a daily fight against the system, against my own organization, you know, in both of those cases. So that was the frustration. And what happened to me for the first time in my life was that I went from, you know, it did something to me that second time. And, you know, consequently, I think that I just went into hiding for 4 years. And I'm like figuring out now, like, where am I going to stick my nose up now? And you know what I mean?
Well,
and
I love the fact that Nick offered to, you know, work with you further on this. And I told you at the top of the show, I've done some personal work with Nick and he's amazing. So, you know, I would highly recommend, you know, that you reach out to him, because he's one of these few people that I have put my trust and my faith, you know, and my own self and soul in His hands. And I know the tender care, and I know the clarity and insight that He has. So I know He just offered that to you, and I would highly recommend that you reach out to Him. So.
Well, it just seemed a natural question for me because, you know, seeing like, live your truth. And I'm going, yeah, well, that's been my problem. You know, if I didn't have to do that, life would have been a lot easier for me. So, but anyways, thanks for your time, Nick.
You are most welcome, Chris. Best wishes to you.
Yeah, thank you. Take care. Thanks, Nicole.
Oh, no, of course, Chris. You know, Nick, as we talk about that, I absolutely love that that's who she is. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more people on the planet and in the world that were like Chris, people that stood up for justice. And somebody said, I mean, and it's interesting when she says, well, I left this perfect job. And of course it wasn't perfect because it wasn't perfect for her, because it put her in a position as a seer where she saw, you know, a lot of things that hurt, and not having the power in that position in that company to be able to make the shift herself, but certainly her awareness and her knowledge added light into change. And I you know, think it would be great if she could work with you. But I really do think that, gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had, you know, more Chris's and that, you know, did that. And so, you know, I have a question with what she was saying with truth. So when people have this emotion that bubbles up inside of them, and you say, okay, this is wrong. People are being hurt. People are being mistreated. People, this is not the way it should be. They're being complacent, or they're being shepherded, or what's one of the great words that we use at CEO space, sheeple, instead of people, right? People that it's like sheep, they're sheeple. And I love that word. But how does it affect the physical body? Because you see so many people in that same corporate structure that have heart attacks, and they have strokes, and they have high cholesterol and blood pressure. And so that emotion that doesn't get aligned, or that doesn't get released, or that doesn't get acknowledged, goes into the physical body, and then they become sick and ill. And so how do you deal with that?
I hate to be redundant and simplistic, but it's really the same thing, Nicole. You know, people are going to present with what they present with. And, you know, for Chris, she says that it's living her truth is causing the dilemma. But I don't think it's living her truth that's causing the dilemma. There's part of her truth that she's living, and there's part of her truth that she's not living. And one could say that life presents either a message, lesson, or test. And maybe this is a message for her that, hey, there's something else going on that you need to tend to for yourself, so that this isn't the kind of thing that you're attracting in your life. And so it's at least a valid theory. Whether it makes sense to other people, I don't know. But there's some part of it that there isn't truth in. There's some part that's not congruent. There's some part that's not complete. There are some feelings that are unresolved. And then the part about, you know, the effect of the physical body, anything left incomplete, anything left in chaos, anything left with emotional baggage to it, is going to manifest some way. You know, just like with suppressed anger, you don't really suppress anger, because somehow you're going to punish yourself, or you're going to punish somebody else. It is going to come out some way. So there is really, you know, the whole notion of, well, just, you know, hold that in, and it's gonna come out. So if the person presents with stress, if the person, you know, and in fact, it usually will start with some level of stress, and if you don't address it, it'll get worse, and if you don't address it, it'll get worse, and if you don't address it, it'll get worse. And for some people, it manifests in the first relationship. You know, the person's unavailable emotionally to them, so they do the second relationship. The person's more emotionally unavailable, and they do the third relationship, and they're now carrying even more baggage, and so the person's even more emotionally unavailable, and they have other things that go with it, because, again, life is either a message, lesson, or a test, and so maybe it's a message that you have some unresolved things to tend to. But whether it's stress, whether it's relationships, whether it's medical issues, you know, the issue tends, at least in my experience, tends to keep getting worse, tends to keep repeating itself, tends to keep wanting resolution. And what I find is that when you get that resolution, the stress or the history or the medical issue or the common denominators that we're presenting, you know, externally just fall away. So step one is, what the heck is going on that's causing this? What are the unconscious patterns is step two. And step three is, how do you heal it?
And are there people that are afraid to heal it? Or if it's healed and you say, oh my gosh, it's healed, is it, are there people that say, I can't believe that it's true, that it's over, that it's done, that I don't have that anymore? And can this be real? Can this?
Well, you know, the people who have the fear, that's part of the issue, right? That, you know, and this blows me away. I've heard other healers, facilitators, practitioners say to me, well, my client just wasn't ready to handle that. And I want to say, you know, I don't say anything, but what I say to myself is, are you kidding me? They're sitting there talking to you about it. They are ready to handle it. They just need somebody that can navigate because they can't. And you putting the blame on them by saying they're not ready is just covering, you know, maybe the irresponsibility of you facilitating them. Because in that fear, in that not readiness, in that hesitancy, in the holdback, you know, that's all part of the issue. So when done properly, fear is just the beginning. Fear is the access in. And when facilitated properly, when the energy's followed properly, the fear melts. So, you know, sort of like with, let's just say something like quitting smoking or some kind of addiction, it feels like it's going to be more uncomfortable by, you know, not doing the thing. And the truth of the matter is, when you navigate what's really going on, it's actually more uncomfortable to keep it. So it's not that fear is something bad. Fear is just part of what needs to be navigated through. And as you're identifying what's going on, the fear is going to lead you to the part, the perfect access in, because that tells you where some of the bigger, you know, collages of closures are. So I want the person who's afraid. I want the person to say those things because that's how I know where to go next. And then you mentioned, you know, do people think, you know, oh, is this too good to be true? Will it last? I got to tell you, Nicole, it's really not like that for at least myself and people that, you know, I work with. It just becomes sort of like, I can't believe that that used to be an issue. I can't believe that that used to be how I am. I can't even remember what it was like to be like. You know, it's so not me, and it feels so foreign. It feels like 17 lifetimes ago because it's just no in my energy field anymore. It's so it's not so much I, you know, will it hold or I can't believe it. It's more like I can't believe I was stuck like that for so long.
That's great. That, I mean, when I think about that, that's the dream, is for people to be able to do that. And I always think, when, have you ever been scuba diving?
I have. And then I'd also hope we can talk a little bit about relationships, too, because I noticed our time.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I want to. I was just going to say that when you're, you know, I know that the first time I went scuba diving, that I thought, oh, my God, like, why didn't I do this sooner? Because look at these colors. Look at, you know, there are hues, there are things that I didn't even know existed. And so it's sort of like when you finally release something, you say, gosh, why didn't I do this sooner? Because look at all the richness in my life. Look at all the wonderful things that I didn't even know were here. So, but yes, please talk. Let's talk about relationships. It's my very favorite subject since I have a bridal show.
It's one of my favorites. Also, just so I know, are there people in your audience that are facilitators and healers? Because there's some room dynamics that would be fun to talk about. Or, I mean, I don't want to, we could always do another, you know, time just for facilitators and, you know, room dynamics. And, you know, there's some principles that I've been exposed to that I haven't seen in too many places that, you know, will help somebody actually facilitate the room to where it wants to go rather than to where you, one, would try to make it, you know, go to fit your agenda. Because when the room goes where it wants to go, the level two programs that you design from where the room ends up will be more palatable and will be more digestible and will be, quote, easier to sell because it's going to meet the specific needs that the room actually has rather than where, you know, the facilitator was trying to get it to end up so that they can sell their level two programs. So there's a whole bunch of really cool things that we could talk about there, and you know, you can guide me.
Absolutely. Well, we can do a very special show then for the Root Dynamics, but for the time we have, I would love to be able to talk about relationships because I know that we have so many people that are just curious of how to navigate that and how to break
I love talking about relationships. I'll give kind of an overview, and then you take me where you think would serve the most people. But I believe, and in my experience, there's three reasons why relationships don't work. See, with your own personal growth, you have an issue, you have unconscious patterns, and when you heal those patterns, the issues go away. Relationships are a little bit more complicated because I've got my issues, and she or they, he, has got his issues, and I'm trying to kind of keep my issues in the background, but his issues hook my issues or her issues hook my issues, and then we have our issues. So we have the baggage. We have now three sets of baggage. Besides my own personal issues, I have her issues and I have our issues. So now there's this pile in the living room called our issues, and, you know, at some point in time, what I notice in relationships is people start to drown because there's so much issue in the space, they don't know how to navigate it, and I think that comes from a couple different places. So we have the baggage that is, you know, the stuff we've been talking about all day. They need to address their side, I need to address my side, but there's two other dynamics that play a part. We obviously have to heal the our baggage, but the other two interesting dynamics is that there's a out of balance masculine feminine energy, and I'll talk briefly about this, and then I'll talk briefly about the concept of make wrong, because I think that that make wrong and the out of balance of masculine feminine and the baggage that we're predisposed to coming in is the reason why relationships don't work out. So doing the make wrong first, because it's at least simpler to explain. If we talk about it, it'll be a little more complicated. But there's this unconscious pattern, there's this way of being that when there's not love, we want to make the other person wrong. And it would take me a little bit more time than we have today to illustrate properly, but every single time there's a dilemma in the relationship, there's some significant amount of make wrong coming out of both persons, and that's where the love is stopped, and that's where that closure occurs. And make wrong is in every single issue all the time, ever present in every relationship, needs to be addressed. The other thing besides the baggage is the out of balance masculine feminine. And I'll tell you, if I had any question about God before I learned this, it certainly got answered by this, because here's what I found, Nicole, is first of all, you know, there's so much about masculine feminine energy, and there's so many distinctions, and there's, you know, John Gray's work is really good, and there's some other people's work who's really good out there. You can heal any relationship dilemma just by, you know, fixing and balancing the masculine feminine. But here's what I find fascinating is that if you have a masculine feminine scale and you have an under masculine over masculine balance masculine scale, and you have an under feminine, over feminine, and balanced feminine scale, on all three scales, my partner is exactly the amount out of balance in the opposite direction as I am in the direction that I'm in. So said another way, if there's three scales and I'm way over masculine, my partner's way over feminine. If I'm way if I'm almost balanced feminine but a little more masculine, my partner's almost balanced but a little more, I've got mixed up in which ones I was doing now, but you get the point that all three scales are equally out of balance. And I find this true in all relationships every single time I work with somebody. And what I find fascinating is if life is really a message lesson or a test, maybe the message is that this is the opportunity to balance my masculine and feminine, because I can't be truly happy and I can't produce the results that I really want to produce in my life if I can't draw from both parts. And I obviously we all have both parts. And obviously we're more inclined to one than the other side. But maybe part of relationships is about how do I get this balanced in myself so that I can be happier, so that I can be have more love in my life. And when I enter into some romantic relationship, how come my partner's equally out of balance as I am, only on the other side? And that's where some of our fights come from. So if you just one more second, and then I'll be done with masculine, feminine, you can add. But it's like if you fight about the toothpaste cap, one person is fighting from a masculine perspective. I want the result. It belongs on the cap like this, in this drawer, I'm in this place. And the feminine side is, hey, I don't feel in relationship with you. This doesn't feel good. It's not in the flow of how I'm doing it. Why do you care more about the toothpaste cap than you care about my feelings? And so every dilemma has a masculine side that's trying to produce result and a feminine side that's trying to celebrate love. And when these things come into the spotlight and you start healing her predisposition to issues, my predisposition to issues, and the baggage of our issues starts to melt, then you get the masculine and feminine side balanced out, and you deal with them, and the make wrong starts to melt. That's when I'm noticing where real love occurs, where real maturity occurs, and where real weeness occurs. And when the love is about authentic love rather than about if you and I don't know how much more I can talk. There's a whole other
thing
about it.
No. I would love, as we're talking about this, to have you come on to the Hourglass Bride Show and talk to people on relationships. I mean, I just think that would just be wonderful to have you do that. But there is a balance between that masculine and feminine energy and being able to communicate in a different level. And I love that you can orchestrate that and help people be able to get clarity on that. And one of my biggest questions for you, of course, is how does someone find you? What is your website, and how does somebody reach you to work with you?
Well, I guess the best way is the website is thesoulwhisperer.com.
Okay. Because I just think that the work you're doing is just so profound.
Yeah, thank you. I thought I was going to have a simple website. Everybody wants to put the Soul Whisperer or Soul Whisperer, but it's really the Soul Whisperer, and it's whisper with one E-R, not two E-Rs. It's thesoulwhisperer.com.
Oh, I just adore it. And, yes, so communications is in relationships, and when you talk about real love, just the concept of real love. I remember that Lisa Nichols did this incredible presentation many years back where she put Coca-Cola and she asked the audience, what is this? And everybody yelled Coke. And she said, what is Coke? And they said, the real thing. And she said, how do you know it's the real thing? And, of course, from our ads. And she kept saying, are you sure it's the real thing? And then she put glitter and oil and all this stuff. And then she said, but inside it was still Coke, which is the real thing. And that's what we do to relationships is we put all this gunk on it, or then we try to make it all pretty, but inside, then you talk about real love exists, that underlying real love, and the fact that you can help people get to that and see those differences and be able to communicate is truly wondrous. And so we have just a couple minutes left on the show. Is there any great wisdom or advice you'd like to leave somebody that's in a relationship right now, that you would say that this would be the one tip or the one secret that would start to open those doors to communication?
Nicole, I don't know that there's one secret, because one of my gifts is to meet people where they're at. And what's true for this person at this time is useful and valid. Pick, you know, a different time and that coaching or advice or perspective or point is no longer valid. So, you know, I think some of the more powerful common denominators are, you know, things like telling the truth, things like being authentic, things like being willing to be vulnerable. You know, in every issue that there is in a relationship, there is a withheld communication also. And so if you can get those withholds out, if you can, you know, be honest, that's a good starting point. But I don't know that there's a universal, at least in my experience, I'm not finding a universal, you know, truth that is good for everybody all the time. I think a really great place is start to look inside, you know, what's true for me, what is the condition of my relationship, and what would take it to another level? Do I even want it to go to another level? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid? Do I have enough love? Are my needs met? Are their needs met? Do I even care about their needs? How come there's resentment? Now, how come the first year that we were together, the sex that we had was way more frequent than it is now? What's really going on in our relationship? You know, what's really going on in me? Am I more open? Am I more empowered? Am I more closed? Why? You know, those are things that I might contemplate if I was, you know, but I think that's about all I can offer.
No, each person is individual, and I love that Chris came on today and said what a strong and powerful individual she was and standing for the truth. And I love the concepts that you talk about, the emotional energy and the truth energy and the love energy and the sexual energy, and that everybody that comes in is a message or it's a lesson, you know, or a task, as you were saying, and that, you know, people that are on these individual crests and, you know, when you're asking people what is the truth and how do I remove the barriers from all of this. So I just think that all of the information that you've given us today is really powerful, and it's really aligning, and it's so conscious, and it's so applicable to who we are and to what we're doing. And I just, you know how I feel about you and your work. And so for the people that are listening to the show, I would love you to be able to, you know, find Nick, and truly, as he's saying, for each person, it's an individual process, but that process for each person can just really take the lid off of all these things that have been boiling inside of you, and inside that could be the most magnificent thing, the most delicious soup you ever had, and, you know, just something that really just satiates your soul and makes your life really the kind of life that you knew you were meant to live. So I'm so honored and so blessed and so excited and so thrilled that you are with us today, and I'll have an opportunity to see you at CEO Space. I know that you were so highly respected there, as you were so highly respected everywhere. And it's just, it's great having you here, hearing your voice and sharing your wisdom.
You know, I feel really lucky to have met you at CEO Space, and I'm really glad that we met. I have a high regard for you and respect, and in any way that I can support any of the things that you're up to or contribute, I would love to. And so I appreciate the opportunity to get to spend some time with you. And if there's ever any way that I can, you know, do anything like this again that you think might be useful to people, I'd be open to the conversation and love to explore with you. Thank you so very much for spending
some time. No, Nick, it's so great having you here today. And Chris, thank you so much for your question. And I love that question on truth. And I think that's, you know, when we think about the Man of La Mancha, and we think about integrity and fighting the right and, fighting the foes. And certainly when we fight those things inside of us, but when we stand up for other people, we're always making a difference. Yes, we're always. So I think that is just grand. So anyway, Nick, thank you. You are wondrous, and truly look forward to seeing you and speaking to you soon, and certainly having you back on our show.
Hey, terrific. Thank you. Best wishes, Nicole. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, you too. And so coming up, we have some very exciting shows. Yes, we finally have Ben Newman coming on, the Millionaire Mentor. I am so you have no idea how excited I am. He's a genius. He's absolute genius. I saw him the other night, and he just says things, and it's like almost the cartoons, the little light bulbs above your head when you say, this is it. this is that one nugget, the one piece of information. And the things he says are not things you would come up with on your own. He actually lives in a different consciousness, and that is how he is able to help people become millionaires, how he's able to help you grow your business. He is beyond the profound, beyond, you know, the genius. He is the Albert Einstein, the Galileo of the financial, you know, wealth of our time. And so I'm so excited to have Ben Newman. We have Matt Weinstein from Playfair, one of the funniest, most exciting, most effervescent people I've ever met, and certainly is going to teach us how to live better lives. And then, of course, we're bringing Morty and Shelly Lithgow on Erasing Beliefs, and so pleased that they're going to be joining us. So we look forward to having you here next week. Please join us tomorrow. We have an extraordinary and a very special show on Hourglass Bride, and we have Amanda Rain, and Amanda is teaching us to speak the unspeakable. And I think that that is one of the most important subjects, how we say those things we've always wanted to say, what's in our heart, what's in our mind, what's in our conscious, and how do you say those things, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's sexual pillow talk, or whether it's in business, how do you actually put what's in your head and your heart and your thoughts and your consciousness out and verbalize them. So tomorrow, Amanda Rain, Speak the Unspeakable. I wish you an incredible week. This is Nicole Brandon from Hourglass Bride, and a special thank you to Nick Barrett, the Soul Whisperer, for his incredible interview today. And certainly thank you, Chris, for being who you are and for standing in your truth. Wishing you a wonderful week. And this is Nicole Brandon from Unlimited Life.